Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
This week?
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
Oh, are we?
We're right here.
Oh.
We're right here at our recording table.
At
our official
folding card table in Aaron's
at our
bedroom.
Official Stomp This Way recording table.
When are we going to move this operation next
slash
door?
Studio.
When are we going to move this operation next door?
Well, this weekend, apparently, from what I've been told.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, me too. But it'll have to be Sunday because Friday we got that football game and Saturday we have Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving's not for 2 weeks.
Thanksgiving. But we're not here to...
What are you giving thanks for this year, Aaron?
Our listeners.
All five of you.
All five of you. No, we're doing good on the listen. I've been keeping track of our stats. We're doing pretty good.
Decent.
We're doing good. Each month, we have increased our listener percentage by a significant amount.
A significant amount?
Right now, we are 100% ahead of the same in terms of number of listens as we were at the same point last month.
Not bad. So we've doubled ourselves.
So we've doubled since last month at the same point last month. Yes. So
nice.
Very
so
nice.
So now we have 15 nice. Listeners.
15 listeners. It's probably the same five people over and over, but it doesn't matter. We are here to discuss the film Eight-Legged Freaks.
How this pertains to next week's movie, don't ask.
It doesn't. What happened is
we accidentally skipped a week.
A couple of weeks ago, I skipped a week, and so I just grabbed a random movie from the end of the schedule and moved it up.
This happened to be the one.
I picked, not super random. I picked Eight-Legged Freaks. I thought Dylan would like a nice break from old foreign movies.
That's fair.
So I don't know if the break was worth it or not. I guess he'll tell us that at the end. But
it was a movie.
It definitely is a film of some sorts.
Film is a strong word.
Yeah, so we're here to talk about Eight-Legged Freaks. Or as they called it in Europe, Arakatak.
Arakatak.
Which is actually a line in the movie.
It is a line in the movie.
I like that title better, but they did not use that title in the U.S. because they said it sounded too much like Iraq Attack.
Iraq Attack. Are you saying Iraq or Iraq?
Which was a politically sensitive issue in 2002. Do you know this movie is 17 years old?
That's a year younger than Andrew.
I was 4 going on 5 when this movie was released.
I was 3 going on 4.
This movie is ancient history now, boys and girls.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, just kidding. Anyway, so how was this movie made?
It was made
with cameras and computers. But what led them to make this movie?
And a lot of poor acting. Sorry.
Hey, David Arquette is a maestro.
Scarlett
deserves an Oscar for
Scarlett
this film.
Scarlett Johansson was in it.
Oh, we're all giving away the whole cast.
This movie was... The director got the idea from a 97 short film that I have not watched called Larger in Life, which apparently revolved around people fighting spiders.
Can you say stolen?
Stolen.
Stolen.
Although, I don't know why he had to watch a short film to get that idea. There's been a lot of movies in the history
about people fighting giant spiders. Or ants or...
One we'll watch somewhere down the line called Tarantula. A very famous
movie. I mean, Giant Spider Invasion.
Giant Spider Invasion.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible movie.
Arachnophobia.
The title came from an ad-libbed line from Arquette, the title of Eight-Legged Freaks. Because he does say that at one point in the movie. But apparently it was ad-libbed, not in the script.
Oh, good for him.
That was some great ad-libbing there, David. Some very original. The mall scenes were filmed in an abandoned mall in Glendale, Arizona.
Solid.
And the actual demolition of the mall is featured in the film at the end when they blow up the mall. So that was real footage. I think they added some poor CGI explosions.
And also put it at night.
And they put it at night. But the actual collapsing of the mall is real. So, Nice little bit of trivia. And the film features CGI recreations of the following types of spiders. Jumping spiders, which I think are probably the most featured spiders. Orb weaver spiders, which I think are the ones that you see on the ceilings a lot, wrapping people up, I would assume. The black widow, which is...
Oh, you mean like Scarlett Johansson? No. Sorry, a little early in her career.
Black Widow, or they call her Consuela in the movie for some reason. But she's the main evil spider.
Is that racist?
Tarantula, which is the big, huge spider that, you know, like...
Is calling her Consuela racist?
Well, I don't see how, because I don't see how you would link a Black Widow to Hispanic. I missed that part.
He named her Consuela.
Maybe he named her Consuela because she cleans up by eating the males. I don't really know. It might be a little racist, but anyway. Tarantula, and on Wikipedia they said they referred to him as Tank. I don't know if they actually ever said that in the movie. I can't remember, but anyway. That's the big spider that, you know, topples over the trailer and tears down the gate at the mall at some point in the movie.
Yeah.
Trapdoor spiders, we see a lot of those. Those are actually probably the neatest effect in the movie. Australian funnel web spiders, I'm not sure which ones those were. And spitting spiders, which I do think we see them once or twice in the movie.
Yeah.
This movie, box office-wise, released on July 17th, 2002. Budget of $30 million. Made about $6.5 million on opening weekend domestically. Finished its domestic run with $17 million. Bit of a flop. Made about $46 million worldwide, so they...
Might have broke even.
Probably not. It was probably a flop.
Yeah. If they broke even, they barely broke even.
I'm sure they marketed it, and I'm sure they probably spent more than $30 million on marketing. So
I mean, they probably spent $45 million all said and done after marketing.
I don't know.
After
DVD sales and everything, they might have
Broke even.
Yeah.
But they didn't make sequels, so they didn't make any money. So. All right. So that's all the info I had this week. We are going to listen to the trailer, and then we'll come back, and we will read off the cast and crew and read the plot summary, and then we'll dive right in to our thoughts on this spider-filled fun ride. No. See you in a minute.
Morning here in Prosperity, Arizona.
Right here at KFRD,
the only source for the inside dope on space aliens and when they plan to invade.
Rosa.
It's time for America to
wake up, people! Wake up before it's too late!
People are saying, well, you know, it's coyotes and it's wolves, but we know the truth.
Spider-Man.
Our town is being attacked by giant spiders.
They're here! They're here!
Warner Brothers Pictures presents the biggest, nastiest mutant spider movie of all time.
Oh yeah,
get back, you eight-legged freaks!
Hey, Spidey!
Thank you.
All right, we're back.
Are we back?
We are back, like Arnold so many times.
Except for this last time.
He won't be back.
Anyway. He literally says that.
Anyway, cast and crew. This movie is directed by
Ellery?
Ellery? Elkayam? I don't know.
Yeah, person.
Written by that same guy and Randy Cornfield. Music by John Ottman. And starring David Arquette. Carrie...
Woober. I don't know, man.
Scott Tara, Scarlett Johansson, Dougie Doug, Rick Overton, Leon Rippey, and that's it.
Wow.
Dougie Doug.
I'm assuming he's a rapper or something.
Maybe. It's racist for you to assume that he's a rapper just because his name's Dougie Doug. That's racist. What if his name's just Doug E. Doug?
Whatever.
What if E is his middle name?
Read the damn plot summary.
All right, are we ready?
We're ready.
In the sleepy mining town of Prosperity, Arizona, toxic waste is dumped into the local water supply, causing spiders from a small spider farm to grow to giant size. At the same time, Chris, the son of the now deceased owner of the mines, has returned to town and begins to romanticize the local sheriff, Sam. But Sam's son, Mike, discovers the giant spiders and tries to convince Chris of their existence. At first, Chris doesn't believe him, but after he discovers a giant spider leg in the spot his aunt is taken, he rushes to Sam's house to ask Mike for help. While he is there, Sam's daughter, Ashley, is assaulted by one of the spiders, confirming their existence to the whole family. After a few adventures through the town, Sam gathers the surviving citizens in the local mall, where they barricade themselves inside. Soon, the spiders tear down the front gate, and the citizens run to safety into the mines. Realizing there is a high concentration of methane gas, Sam and Chris set a trap and ignite the methane with all the spiders trapped in the mine, killing them. In the closing scenes, we learn that Chris has reopened the mines and the town is alive once again, as credits roll.
Right into a great rendition of Itsy Bitsy Spider. Which, if I can find it, will be the end song to this episode. It is quite interesting. But anyway, going into this movie, you know, I couldn't really remember really much of any of it.
I've never seen this before now.
I'm going to go and say that this movie is a spoof. I'm going to classify it as a straight up spoof. And I'm going to go ahead and say that one of the biggest problems with this movie is that I don't think you can definitively tell that it is a spoof until about 20 minutes in when the cat and the spider have their episode in the drywall. I mean, there's some scenes earlier that are goofy, but you could just kind of pass that off as like they're paying homage to old 50s horror monster movies that were kind of goofy. You have the scene where they dump, or they where the guy swerves to miss a rabbit and he dumps generic toxic waste into lake, which creates giant spiders, which is all kind of goofy, but I really don't. At that point, you could still say, okay, well, once the spiders get here, they could still kind of do like a classic B-movie, monster movie with some tension in it, but it's also kind of, you know, has a sense of humor about itself. It's not until they have that scene where the cat and the spider are like throwing each other around on the drywall, and you can see like the impression of the cat hit the wall, and then in the shape of the cat, and then the shape of the spider be like pressed out against the drywall, that you're like, oh, this is just a stupid spoof movie. Which leads to the biggest problem of this movie, in my opinion, that this movie is not that funny. It's not near as funny as it thinks it is.
It's not near as funny as it thinks it is.
And if you're going to be a spoof like this, the jokes needed to be much more rapid fire than they actually were. I mean, there are a few funny things in this movie, but overall, I mean, it's not really that funny. But yeah, I just didn't find it that funny personally. I don't know.
Nah, it's not that funny. I mean, it's a semi-entertaining movie. I mean, yeah. It's bad.
It's all right.
It's bad.
It's pretty bad, but I mean, it's entertaining bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't know if it's so bad it's good. I don't think I can classify it as so bad it's good. It's not one of those.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's bad, but it's bad in an entertaining way.
Yeah. Well, if you're a spoof, I mean, I think really the whole point of spoofs is to be bad in an
entertaining way.
And I think this, I mean, yeah, this movie, like I said, I mean, I don't hate this movie. I think it's kind of entertaining to sit down and watch.
Just to laugh at all this stuff from like the early 2000s too, though.
If you're going to be a spoof, like, I mean, if you're going to be a spoof, like, I'll take like a great example of a great spoof, Spaceballs.
That's the ultimate spoof.
I mean, probably. Yeah, but the jokes are, I mean, everything is super goofy.
Everything's a joke.
And everything's a joke. I mean, the jokes are so rapid fire, if you just blink, you'll miss it. I mean, that's how you do a spoof the right way. You're going to do a straight up spoof, which this movie, I don't think you could really say is anything but that, then do it that. I mean, this movie, they could have tried to do like a half comedy, half action movie where the spiders were kind of menacing and there was some tension in that. But they don't do it that way. I mean, partially because we'll get to effects later, but the spiders are far from convincing. And they just, I don't know if it's because of just that. And then it's like I never feel like the director's trying to make anything intense. Maybe that's a flaw in the filmmaking. Maybe that was intentional. I'm not sure.
Maybe they weren't trying to go the spoof route and it's just a bad movie.
Maybe. I mean, it was meant to be a comedy in some sense. I'm not sure.
I mean,
sure,
yeah,
if it
it's
was,
meant to be. It's meant to be.
I'm
like
not sure
a,
if it's
like
meant
comedy.
To be a spoof.
I don't know if they were shooting for a super straight up spoof that they really hit.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Maybe they were just going for trying to pay homage, but doing it in a more ridiculous way.
Yeah. I don't know. I think...
And it just doesn't quite land.
They didn't balance it well.
It doesn't quite land as, you know, oh, this is just, you know, a... it's just a generic, you know, monster movie, like, paying homage to, like, old monster movies from, like, the 50s and 60s or whatever. We're just going to do it more ridiculous. But it doesn't land at spoof either.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess it's more of a spoof. It's, like, somewhere awkwardly in between. Like, it's trying to be funny and self-aware.
Yeah.
But it's not funny and self-aware enough to be good.
Okay. And if you're going to do a spoof, you need you need at least one actor who is just naturally super funny. David Arquette.
Is just goofy. He's just a goofy-looking dude.
He's a terrible actor, okay? Oh, and Scream. The only thing I know him from is Scream. He's terrible in that, but it works because Scream itself is kind of a comedy slash spoof.
It's a dark comedy.
Dark comedy spoofy thing.
It's a play at the slasher genre.
And I think he's spoke people, or at least the people that cast him in movies, Wes Craven and this guy, they find him funny because he is so dry and just like honestly bad at line delivery. I don't think he's funny. Like, I mean, I just think he's cringy, if anything.
He's just such a goofy dude. I mean, he's goofy looking, and he just cannot deliver lines to save his life. No. I don't know if it's just... Maybe it's intentional? Maybe he's intentionally acting that bad in all the movies that he's in.
Intentional. Because you could pull anybody off the street, and they could deliver some of these lines better. I mean, it has to be intentional, I think. I mean, the acting overall is not that good. I mean, Dougie Doug... I guess he plays like this crazy conspiracy theorist. But
he's probably one of the funnier parts of the movie.
Yeah, but I feel like he needed to be crazier. Yeah. And then, I mean, the kid that plays Mike is fine. Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's fine.
She's a talented actress, and she does what she's asked.
She was probably the most talented person in this movie, even for how young she was.
And then the woman
she
playing,
was 18 when this movie came out.
Yeah, she's like 18 or 19 or something. The woman playing Sam, the sheriff, she's fine.
She's just here to look pretty.
She's just here to look pretty, yeah. Her and Scarlett Johansson both.
It's like, we need pretty people.
The deputy guy was...
Pete, the guy that played Pete, I mean, he was kind of funny.
Yeah.
The guy that played the mayor, Wade, I've seen that actor before, I don't know what though, but he was funny.
He plays generic guy number one.
Generic guy number one, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know.
God, and then the freaking, like, boyfriend. The boyfriend, I mean, he's like generic... Small town teen boyfriend number one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got issues. Wade is his stepfather. And he's got issues because his stepfather doesn't care about him or doesn't pay enough attention to him. There's basically a whole scene about that in the movie. He's like, you know, I'm going out. Wade's on the phone. He's like, I'm going out. And he doesn't say anything. He's like, I'm going to get loaded and party all night. Doesn't say anything.
He's like, get out and have a good time.
He's like, go out and have a good time. I'm on the phone. So he's... His dad doesn't pay enough attention to him. He doesn't feel like he doesn't care to him, so he acts out.
And there's this... I think it's like the next scene where he's like groping...
He's like groping ScarJo.
She's stunting with a stunt.
She's like, hey, get off me.
But then he turns out to be a good guy at the end. In the movie nowadays, he would never turn out to be a good guy after he did that.
He'd just be the douchey guy.
He'd be dead.
But he tried to touch her.
He tried
kill
to
him.
Touch
him.
No. Death. Dissonance. No, but anyway, I don't know. I feel like... And then, you know, the plot is ridiculous. But I don't know. It takes a while.
I mean, it probably takes a good 15 to 20 minutes before, like, anything really happens. I mean, the first, like, 10 to 15 minutes of the movie is, like, this about, you know, the toxic waste getting dumped in the lake. And then the kid going to the spider farm. Mm-hmm. And then he leaves the spider farm and runs in to his mom and Pete, and then we don't see like anything that has to do with like these spiders are growing until
really the scene with the cat,
and
then, you know, we have, it's kind of confusing too, because Chris, who is David Arquette's character, he comes in and he shows up at this woman's place. It takes forever for this movie to tell you that this woman is his aunt. I'm talking like the last 15 minutes of the movie. I thought maybe she was just like...
No, they do it at the very beginning of the movie. Like when he first walks into her house.
Does he say...
When he first walks into her house, you know, he's talking and she's like, we don't have any work. Well, then she finally turns around. He had said his name and she turns around and he calls her Aunt Edna or whatever the hell her name is.
He calls her Aunt?
Yeah, Aunt Edna or whatever the hell her name is.
Oh, I didn't hear Aunt. He said her name's like...
Edna.
I think her name is Edna.
It's Edna.
No, it sounds weird. It's like...
It's Edna.
I don't know. Look it up. It's like... I want to say it's Edna. You didn't put it down.
I didn't put it down, did I? No, it sounds weird. It's like...
I'm almost positive in that scene he says, it's good to see you, Aunt Edna, or something like that, or whatever the heck her name is.
What do you think it is?
Oh, it's something weird. It's like...
I swear to God, it's Edna.
It's Edna.
Gladys.
Aunt Gladys. I don't know, because it's a generic old lady name.
I thought Edna. It was
anyways. Gladys. He thought it'd be better.
He calls her aunt in that scene.
I'm pretty sure.
Because I didn't hear aunt until way, way later.
I'm almost positive.
So I'm sitting here thinking, like, how is this woman, like, I had figured that she was just like an old, someone had worked for her, for his dad for a very long time, and they were just a close family friend or something. But, anyway. But yeah, so, and apparently, like, his, it doesn't really matter that much in the movie, but he's, like, the son of the guy who owns these mines. So apparently he inherited these mines.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he goes in and he's like,
they're like at a town hall meeting.
Well, there's a scene where they got, like, they're going down the mines, and he's got a hard hat on, and he's telling the other guys what to do. I'm like, you were like a kid when you left, and you're going to come down here and start, like, telling people how to, I don't know. Like I said, it's a spoof. I'm not going to worry about the stupid plot details. And yeah, and Wade, who is the mayor, who is also Ashley's boyfriend's stepdad, is a douche. And he apparently opened this mall thinking it would make money. And it
even though it's in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere. Well, they were supposed to build
an interstate
there, but they didn't. And then he opened an ostrich farm.
Yeah.
I don't know, a lot of stupid stuff.
Has ostrich burgers.
Ostrich burgers. But I don't know.
No ostriches were harmed in the beginning of this movie.
No ostriches were. I'm sure some spiders even though they were probably lost. But,
spiders were lost.
I don't know. And then we get to these, you know, the movies, I mean, it's kind of entertaining with the spider stuff. You know, you have these, like, trapdoor spiders. Those are kind of cool. Yeah. Especially in the scene with the ostriches where the trapdoor, they come out and, like, pull the spiders.
And the ostriches are like, blowing up.
And they're just, like, a puff of feathers is all that was left.
I called that, too. I was like, those birds are going to, like, start blowing up around them.
I don't know. Like, the spiders.
The whole finale is interesting, I guess, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess when they're in the mall and stuff, and they're having to, like, they have, like, the ragtag team of group of locals with all their little weapons, you know, fighting the spiders. I do kind of like it is kind of funny, the scene where the boyfriend's on the motorcycle running from the jumping spiders. Yeah. I mean, the jumping spiders look super cheesy, but, I mean, it is kind of funny.
And they, like, blow up that freaking,
yeah, they blow like, up, gas tanker. They actually, tanker. Like, blew up that, like, truck with that tank, the gas yeah. tank on the back of it. And it is, I thought one of the funnier subtle scenes was when, like, one of the jumping spiders comes out of the explosion and just goes, eh, he just falls over dead. And it's kind of that stuff is kind of fun, I guess. But I do have a question. This kid, Mike, the one that's like the wannabe, I don't know, what are people that study insects called? But they're not insects, they're arachnids. I'm sorry.
They're
arachnologist or whatever they're called. That's not right.
Jesus Christ. Okay, Google.
He has like a, I thought it was a camcorder.
It's like some weird like tablet thing that has weird, a phone. Yeah, that
fit like films him. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. That
FaceTime must have been, like, before FaceTime. No.
Must have been a very short lived piece of technology, whatever it was. I don't know what it was.
Maybe they just made it for the movie.
Maybe, I don't know. But anyway, and then he's like, this is like 2002. He has like a program on his computer that he can input like the size of a spider's leg into, and it tells him the size of the whole spider. I'm like, what kind
in
of
in relation
is
to
that?
The size of a human?
Yeah, I'm like, where did he get that program from?
Where's he got that kind of money? No.
Is he a programmer? Like, jeez. But anyway.
This movie's, it's interesting.
What'd you think about the resolution that they, I guess they set it up earlier that there was methane down in the mines.
Yeah.
And they get him
out
in the
mines. Yeah, well, I mean, we had this whole, like, finale sequence where, like, they get out of the mall and we get down to the mines and they're walking through and David Arquette's character's like, methane. Like, says it like, just like that, basically. He's like, methane gas.
Like, okay.
And he, like, hurries everyone out, and then they get to the giant area where all the bundled up people are or whatever, and they like send them on their way, and then they have to get the lights to go so they can spark the gas or whatever, and they're like looking for fuel, and Scarlett Johansson's like, I have this taser.
Yeah, I'm like, that wouldn't power that stupid mine shaft.
It's 32,000 watts, 3200 watts.
I don't know. It wouldn't power that mine shaft. I don't care what kind of taser it is. Yeah, that was stupid. But like I said, it's a spoof comedy thing, so I'm not going to get caught up in the plot shortcomings.
No, it's just a dumb movie.
It's just a dumb movie, but... anyway, we're ready to move on to creature design.
I guess so. How many spiders are we going to talk about?
We can just kind of talk about the spiders in general. Without getting into the CGI themselves, I mean, the spiders are kind of neat. I like that they have a variety of spiders, and they kind of try to keep somewhat consistent with their actual abilities. You have the jumping spiders and
The spitting spiders,
the orb weavers that wrap people up, the giant black widow.
The giant
Although I feel like the black widow is the one that they, I don't know, I feel like they could have really emphasized in, like, the hourglass on her, but they never really
did. Yeah, it didn't really look like an hourglass, it just looks like a, it looks different splotch. Than an hourglass, like a big splotch on her back.
I didn't even really know for sure if it was a Black Widow.
I didn't think it was a Black Widow when I first saw it until you had it written down. I was like, that's a Black Widow, it didn't look like that.
Yeah.
The tarantula looks cool.
And the tarantula looks pretty cool, and probably in terms of, like, CGI, he probably has the best scene at the night scene where he's trying to topple over the trailer or whatever.
And there's some practical effects where these spiders are present that look alright, but I don't think I recognized any shots in the movie where a full spider was done with a practical model.
Yeah, rolling into effects. They had like legs and stuff that would be practical.
They would do like practical legs and stuff, like wrapping people up and like pulling people away, stuff like that. But
practical spider, no.
I don't think I saw any like full.
I mean, the CGI is bad. I mean,
the CGI is terrible. Bad is an understatement. It's terrible.
Now, part of that could be at least. I mean, a lot of it was budgetary, I'm sure, but I'm sure that I don't think that. I mean, part of it could be intentional. They know it's bad.
$30 million budget, though. Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's a comedy spoof thing. I mean, part of it was intentional, I'm sure.
And another part of it, I mean, it was 2002.
So, I mean, a $30 million budget. I don't know how far that would have went. And they have a lot of bright day scenes with these spiders, which don't help. And there are a lot of CGI spiders, so they have to, you know, animate a lot of spiders.
But the spiders look terrible. They look god-awful.
There's some scenes where the spider and the people are in the same scene, but they literally look offset. Like, they don't look like there's a scene where he's, like, spraying perfume on one or something, and it literally looks like he's spraying it to the side of the spider. Anyway, but, yeah.
No, but the CGI's bad.
The CGI is real bad.
And the CGI explosion at the end with the mall is pretty bad.
It's pretty. Yeah, the explosion part of it, yeah, it's pretty bad.
That good.
But none of the CGI is good. No. It's bad. It's all bad.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to score.
I kind of like it.
I kind of like it. Especially the Izzy Bitsy spider thing at the end. But yeah, the score overall.
The score kind of reminded me of like Jumanji. And I looked it up to see if it was the same guy. It's not. What else had I seen he had done? He'd done the score for X-Men 2 and X-Men Days of Future Past. Yeah. And he's done some other stuff, obviously.
He's a working
composer. But those are some big ones that I saw.
Yeah,
that people would probably care for.
Yeah, and I think he does a good job with this movie.
The score's kind of interesting. It's also kind of similar to like the score from aspects of it are kind of similar to like the score from Scream, like a Wes Craven slasher movie kind of.
Yeah, and I think the score is pretty decent.
It's interesting. I kind of like it. Yeah, I mean, it fits with the movie. It fits with the tone of the movie. I mean, it's like a goofy kind of score, but also serious at the same time. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Too bad. I just wish. I mean, there is no point in this movie that it is scary at all.
No.
Like, I just wish.
I don't know if it was. Maybe that was part of the point. It wasn't trying to be.
Yeah. I just wish. I think they could have, but anyway, let's get into some final thoughts. Andrew, you want to start us off?
Well, I thought this movie was alright. It was not the best movie. The CGI was a little rough. I think I'm going to give this a B+.
He's going to give it a B+.
Alright, what do you think about that, Dylan?
Oh, it's a bad movie. It's a bad movie, y'all. It's bad. The story's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if they were just going for a poorly written movie with terrible dialogue and poorly written characters that are just generic upon generic upon generic. Because everyone in this movie is just like your generic small town person, basically. You got your small town sheriff, your small town guy who comes back because he left because he wanted to get away and blah, 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 blah.
Sounds like a Lifetime movie.
I was about to say Hallmark.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then just David Arquette, man, he's just so goofy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's his fault or if he's just asked to be that way. Like, we need you to be goofy and bland. Like, can you do that for us? He's like, yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess they did the best with what they were given and the money they were given, but I feel like there's so much they could have done better. I mean, if they were gonna go spoof, like you said, they needed to go
full on
spoof. If they were gonna go, let's make a movie that is very reminiscent of, you know, 1950s, 1960s, you know, B horror, you know, monster movies or whatever. They should have gone that route and said, you know, like we said, they're in this awkward middle ground where it's not funny enough to be a spoof, but it's not serious enough to be
a monster movie.
It's kind of just like, oh, there's some scenes that are like, all right, that's okay. And then your other scenes like, I see what you're trying to do there, but it's not funny. The CGI is terrible. It's bad.
It's bad.
It's real bad.
It's real bad.
It's probably worse than It's definitely worse than the CGI in The Host, but The Host came out a few years after this, so definitely worse than the CGI on the monster from The Host, but yeah. I gotta give the people that made The Host credit for that. The score is kind of interesting, and the spiders, even though the CGI is bad on them, they look kind of cool, but overall, I mean, it's a bad movie. It's entertaining, though. It's like it's an entertaining kind of bad. Yeah. I'll be real kind, and I'll give it a C.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said. They really needed to pick a path. They either needed to be a full-on spoof or a full-on, or needed to be like just kind of like an homage to a classic 50s monster movie with some ridiculous elements, but also some tense elements. I think this movie, if they could have put in the money to make the spiders look passable, and maybe a director that knew a little bit more about horror, or at least action movies, I think they could have made a fun kind of, you know, like 50 movie style monster movie out of this. But instead, like you said, we're caught in some weird awkward middle ground that just doesn't work. And it's not, I really want to laugh at this movie. Like, I mean, there are a few funny jokes, and I feel like there's a lot of opportunity there for jokes that they just, I don't know if they just didn't have the comedic talent behind the camera to pull them off, or if they just didn't want to go that route, but just kind of ended up there anyway. I'm not really sure. But so, yeah, the movie's not well put together. It's got a lot of issues. That being said, I didn't hate sitting down and watching it. I mean, it's a fun hour, 40 minutes or whatever. It's, I mean, if you
have hour 36 or something like that.
I think it's hour 39 or something.
Hour 40, anyway.
Whatever. It's not the worst hour 40 you could spend doing something.
I spend an hour 40 doing much worse, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're going to spend a lot more hour 40s doing much worse on this podcast, trust me.
I'm out.
No, but it's I mean, if you have got nothing better to do, it's a, kind of a fun popcorn movie. I'll give it a C minus.
Oh, he's going to give it a C minus.
C minus. I mean, it's not. I thought
you were going to go C2.
Yeah, I didn't. Four. At no point did I was like, ooh, I don't like watching this movie. So that keeps it out of the D territory. But yeah, I think a C minus is deserving. I think they could maybe just instead of, I think a lot of issues would be solved. Replace David Arquette with someone just funnier. Like, I don't know. Someone cheap. David Spade or somebody, I don't know. But
could you imagine David Spade in this movie? That probably would have been hilarious.
That would have been hilarious. Because he also has kind of like that deadpan, but it's all, I don't know, he's so much funnier at it for some reason.
I don't know. It's a bad movie, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see myself watching it again at some point in my life, but
yeah,
not any time in the next year or two,
probably. And I had to pay for it, too, because Netflix took it off, like, when I was getting ready to watch it.
Yeah, screw you, Netflix.
Screw you, Netflix.
No, anyway, sorry, if you want to sponsor us, then that's cool.
Yeah.
Disney Plus, if you're out there listening.
If you're listening to this. Anyway. Speaking of Disney Plus, what about Disney Plus?
Worth it? Kind of.
I don't know, you're paying for it.
Right now, it is $6.99 a month if you just get Disney Plus. And I will say,
is this for our news section this month?
Yeah, we don't have any news this month, so I'm going to just talk about this for a minute. $6.99 a month for what you get. You can watch on 4 screens at the same time, and you get unlimited downloads on up to 10 devices, which is basically like the same thing that Netflix charges $16 a month plus tax for.
Yeah, yeah.
So at $7, I mean, I estimate that it will go up in the future.
Oh, definitely.
I don't see it going up over $12 for Disney Plus by itself just to remain competitive.
Not in the next
five years or so. I mean, by the time it rolls around to that point, I mean,
listen, you see, right now we are in this giant boom of streaming services. You
know, yeah.
You got Disney Plus, you got CBS All Access, you got Facebook Watch or some shit.
NBC just launched its own thing.
NBC.
DC Universe has its own thing.
DC.
Hulu, Netflix. Criterion
Collection. Hulu, Netflix. Which, let me tell you.
Showtime,
Disney,
HBO, HBO Go, HBO Now, Max. HBO Max.
Yeah, he's got four of them by themselves. At some point, there's going to be, I mean, you know, we started with Netflix and Hulu, and at some point...
We started with cable.
At some point, right now, we had this huge explosion of not all of them are going to survive. So the question is, which ones are going to survive? Disney, I believe, obviously, they...
Disney can survive just because the market...
The amount of content that they can provide.
The corner of the market
they have. And they had like 10 million subscribers on the first day. Now, of course, the big thing with these kind of things is retention rate. I think Disney will be fine. CBS All Access has been going for a few years now. It'll be all right.
Netflix will last and Hulu will last.
Hulu will last because it's basically
owned by Disney.
Netflix is in some major debt. Netflix, with these, because they've tried to create all this original content and they went into some deep, deep debt to do so. I don't know if it's a sure thing if Netflix will survive. They might have to do some radical restructuring if they are. I mean, I don't know. The future will be interesting. We might just end up with Hulu and Disney Plus, and Disney will be like, but no, CBS All Access, and of course, they got a lot of financial backing from their parent company. And with Star Trek, they have a lot of.
And I'm sure Amazon will survive just because Amazon's got
Amazon
the money.
Prime, yeah. Again, that's the difference. Netflix has no parent company that does something else. They're just Netflix. Disney obviously has a ton of capital they can just throw everywhere. Amazon, CBS, NBC, they have tons of capital they can just throw at these streaming
services.
They got
TV shows, they make movies, yeah. They do all kinds of stuff.
So, but
and
Netflix,
CBS is owned by somebody else, I think, right?
Comcast.
Comcast, yeah. It's a Comcast company.
So, yeah, so they've got a lot of financial backing, whereas Netflix, they just rely on the income they make off their streaming service. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, but we are way off topic from our usual subject.
But anyway, what I was saying, though, I mean, at $6.99 for what it is now, I think it's a pretty decent deal. I mean, we watched the first episode of The Mandalorian, and I'm interested to see where they go with it.
Yeah.
It's intriguing.
Directed by Dave Filoni.
The first episode was directed by Dave Filoni.
Who's also a huge Godzilla fan. He was on the episode of
There you go. There's your tie-in. Godzilla fan.
But, you know, I was really, you know, that's right. You know, you
can tell that they're throwing a hefty budget at it.
I was impressed with Dave Filoni. You know, we just know him from directing all these animated stuff.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with his direction style.
Oh, it looks good.
Really good. Now,
if you want to talk about a lived-in world, it looks lived-in.
He was probably taking a lot of direction from Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau was like, hey.
Yeah, let's do it this way. But it was really good. I was really impressed. I mean, the writing, maybe some little underdeveloped on some characters.
Which, that'll get better with time.
But that can, you know, improve with time. And I'm not going to spoil the ending, but there was an interesting, I don't know how far they're going to take it, but there was an interesting ending that grabbed my attention, which is what a first episode should always do, grab your attention. That makes me want to watch it more. So,
and I think that Disney Plus is really smart. I mean, I know a lot of people were upset that they didn't drop the series day one,
like Netflix does.
Or the first season or whatever. But it's really smart. They're doing it week by week. That way you can't have people just be like, oh, well, there's a 7-day free trial and come and watch this whole show in seven days. I'll just cancel it. I don't need to watch anything else until the first Marvel show comes out or whatever.
From a business standpoint, that is smart. And I am interested in seeing some of their Marvel shows, not all of them, but I'm probably going to end up watching all of them. So anyway, we're way off topic. Any other monster related news? The release date for Ultraman Orb and Ultraman, what's the other one I pre-ordered?
Was it Geed and Orb?
Geed and Orb, I think so. Yeah,
Seven.
That one doesn't come out till December. I think Geed and Orb, I think they come out November 19th, I believe, is when they ship. So, excited for those. They're way down the road when I get to watch them. But excited to see and then 7 comes out like December 7th or something. Get it. Maybe not December 7th. That's Pearl Harbor Day. They might not do that. Maybe it was like December 13th. But anyway.
Going to release a Japanese show on the day that they bombed Pearl Harbor.
They moved the Godzilla King of the Monsters release date because it was originally like scheduled to come out on DVD like the day of the Hiroshima bombing.
Maybe not.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it is December 7th, though.
Maybe.
Well, it doesn't matter right now. It's a long ways down. Yeah. Well, not really. It's a month.
That is kind of awkward.
About anyway. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
About 3 weeks. 2 weeks from this Saturday, we're going to Stillwater.
Yeah, gonna go watch the
Hopefully the Oklahoma Sooners get smacked because they're sucking right now.
No, Boomer Sooner, baby.
Boomer Sooner, my freaking butt.
Anyway.
Y'all played like trash against Iowa State.
Listen. We're way off topic. But anyway, next week we're getting back to Godzilla. We're watching Godzilla versus Gigan.
On the Criterion.
On the Criterion Collection. The first time that I will have seen the Japanese cut of that film.
I'm so happy for you.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
So happy
stuff.
For you.
And then after
I like Gigan. I'll just put that out there. I kind of liked Gigan.
After that, we're going to watch a movie.
Are we? Oh, we're going to
watch
a movie.
Watch a movie.
Did you know that we're going to watch a movie, Andrew?
Give me half a sec here.
It's been half a second.
Give me like half a sec here.
We have two followers?
It's me and you. And after Godzilla vs. Gigan. 390
downloads.
We will watch.
You gotta get 50.
Oh, we get to start the Time Machine trilogy. Very exciting stuff. I really love the Time Machine trilogy.
I'm kidding. From what I understand, it's pretty good.
It's Very good.
You gotta get Swifty. Am I gonna like it? You gotta get Swifty.
This is not Rick and Morty. We're not getting Swifty. Not today. Anyway, after that will be Godzilla vs. Megalon.
And then Dimension. And then Terra Mechagodzilla. And then Dimension.
And then that takes us up through the end of the year.
That takes us up through the end of the Showa era. And then we'll move into the Heisei era.
The Heisei era.
Very exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff.
But that
stuff.
Takes us up to the end of the year.
It does. Do we start the Heisei era? Heisei area.
Return of Godzilla will be our first episode of the new year.
That'll be the first episode of the Heisei. That's good timing.
Alright, yeah. Planned it out right. We started this at the right time, apparently.
Good job here. No, but yeah, so exciting stuff. Just and then stick with
Matongo.
Us. Matongo. You probably won't like it, but I kind of like it. But anyway, that's all we got for you this week. Don't forget that you can contact us at soundthisway1954@gmail.com.
Yeah, we are also up on social media. We're up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at Stomp This Way on all those platforms. So make sure you give us a like or a follow and tell your friends about us. We also have a website over there. What can you see over there, Aaron?
At our website, you can see our schedule, our previous grades for movies that we've already reviewed. You can see our bios. You can see past episodes.
Whatever news Aaron can find. Andrew, why don't you go ahead and tell him where you can find that website?
You can find that at www.stompthisway.podbean.com.
For sure.
Yep. So, yep, if you listen to us on... We've been getting a fair number of listens on... I was going to call it iTunes. What do they call it now?
Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please give us a review. Definitely helps us in the rankings. And, yeah, this was like... Apple Podcasts has been like a third of our listens over the last month or something.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad at all. So, anyway, I'm still working on getting this up for Pandora. I emailed them about 4 weeks ago now, and they said please allow 4 to 6 weeks. Well, it already been like 6 weeks at that point, and so it's been like another 4 weeks, so I'm going to have to email them back and be like, hey, listen
big corporate entity,
listen Pandora. But anyway, thank you for listening. As always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Dylan, and we'll catch you in the next one.
to the itsy bitsy spider, crawled up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain, and the itsy bitsy spider went in the spout.